I want to tell you that I was born BAE before almost everything. I was born before movies, before radio, before television, before penicillin, before pacemakers, before polio shots, before frozen foods, before Xerox, before contact lenses, before Frisbees, before radar, before credit cards, before split atoms, before laser beams, and before dishwashers, and before air conditioners. Just think, I'm almost half as old as the United States of America. I have lived through the regime of 16 presidents. I can tell you their names. Of course I can. I got them written right down here. Teddy Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, Franklin Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon.
That was the voice of my father, Lon Woodrum, in the latter years of his life, preaching a sermon in the 1980s. We'll be talking about dads a little bit in our podcast today.
You stood like a giant in the pulpit, like a holy rolling monarch to the crowd. You roared like a lion in the face of disaster from the safety of the platform.
That being said, welcome to the Wonder World Podcast. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Rob. And I know why we're actually here today, Robbie.
Hooray! We've made progress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're here for snacks, right? You promised me snacks.
That comes after. Ah, you can't eat and record at the same time. That would sound disgusting.
How could it be any more disgusting than what it is? How could it be any worse?
That's one way.
That's true. We're thinking of ways that we can make this even more of a challenge for people to listen to.
The sound of chewing?
This is the sound of us eating popcorn. Or taffy.
Oh, no. I'm even grossed out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so what's going on, Robbie? Why are we here? What are we doing? What's going on? I mean, I know why we're here. We're here to talk.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, this is kind of a special Father's Day podcast. And we have a few Eastgate events and news we wanted to talk about first. And then later on, mostly it'll be about our dads.
Yeah.
Especially your dad.
Especially my dad.
Yeah. So, The recent stuff that's happened at Eastgate it's not really Eastgate, it's just more, it affects Eastgate people. It's a really cool thing that Melissa Traxler does, who's the CEO of Pineapple Willys. And I just wanted to mention that so people have an opportunity to participate in this. It pretty much happens every Saturday through August, maybe through the end of August. It's at Pineapple Willys.
Yeah, I think she might have actually gone even longer last year, but I'm not sure.
She went longer than she had intended, and then this year I feel like June, July, and August dates are all posted, and so I think she kind of planned ahead to do quite a bit more. But it's a really cool thing. It's a beach cleanup for an hour every Saturday from June till middle to the end of August.
I love it. I think it's so great. I've gone to several of those, and I just there's something wonderful about seeing the whole community coming together. And it's honestly something that I feel like, you know, people are thinking, I want to do something. I want to make a difference. This is a great way to do that and actually be there representing the values of the kingdom.
That's right. And it's a tangible thing. People just, sorry, there's the cat again.
Yeah, I know it. She wants so badly to be, but she thinks this is a thing about her. But
she sleeps all day until we get in here.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Anyway, so what it is you show up at 9 o'clock. And there is a named charitable organization every Saturday, and you can find it on the Facebook post for Pineapple Willys, and that's spelled W-I-L-L-Y-S. And you show up at 9, they give you gloves and a paper bag, and you go down on the beach, and you literally just start searching for trash and put it in the bag.
It's incredible how much trash there is. This is a beach that has tractors that go through to pull up the trash on a regular basis. And it is incredible how much trash is left behind.
It's unbelievable. I remember hearing or reading somewhere that the worst trash item on the beach is cigarette butts. People put those in the sand all the time. Yeah,
I guess they look at it like a giant ashtray. They so do. It makes sense.
And so you but definitely find plenty of
those. I remember
those.
Back in, you know, as a side thing, but way back in the 80s when I used to work at Surf Hut, airbrushing t-shirts, mm-hmm. and it was a sand floor. Anybody that remembers right. that, if anybody went there back in the old days, it was a sand floor. And that was one of the biggest hassles was that people, because back in those days, remember back in the 70s and 80s, it smoked everywhere. People smoked
in public places, in stores, every restaurants.
It's incredible that people would smoke in clothing stores. Now that I think about that, I mean,
that's true.
But either way, people would put their cigarettes out constantly in there. So one of the regular jobs that people had to do was go through with a sifter, it was like a broomstick, but it had a sifter at the bottom of it to pull all the cigarette butts
that's
out.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it's, you know. Anyway, so yeah, I'm sorry. That was back to present day Pineapple Willies.
Yeah, so you comb the beach for really only about 40 minutes. She says, "Come back at 20 till. We have an auction." No, not an auction. It's a giveaway, basically a prize giveaway. She has had a lot of merchants locally donate. Usually there's like almost 10 different gifts. And you, when you show up and they give you your gloves, they give you a wristband with a number on it. And so she reaches into a box and pulls numbers out, and you may get a gift certificate for a Domino's pizza or for Pineapple Willie's or, what's the Upside Down house, across from Ripley's, Wonderworks.
Yeah. Wonderworks. Yeah.
Yeah. Different things like that. And really there's just a lot of gifts that are given away. And then they started something.
I mean, you think about how charitable this is all the way around. Yeah. I mean, this is not just, you know, this isn't just cleaning up the beach, but it's also Pineapple Willies is using that as an opportunity to give charitably to organizations here that are doing good in the community. I mean, it's
right. I didn't mention that part, but for every person that shows up, Pineapple Willies donates $10 to that charity that has been named in advance. So there was 100 some people there this last Saturday, and so they donated over $1,000 to Beach Care Services.
It's just wonderful.
It's incredible. They give you water at the end, they take your picture, post it on Facebook, and they just, it's a really cool, they have it very organized, which I always appreciate, and it's just an awesome thing.
And
it's
listen, awesome thing here's the do. Thing, Melissa is an Eastgadian, so she I mean, is. We should be doing everything That's... we can to support what's going on there, and especially, like, one of the the organizations. Who is it, Robbie?
Gig Youth
for Eastgate is actually right. going to be receiving a donation from
them. She added them last year, so it's middle and high school, and so we split it between the two youth groups, and that helps pay for, you know, pizza nights or going on a trip or whatever the youth leaders, you know, need money for. So it's
well, not
really
whatever the youth leaders need money for, but
for the youth for group. yeah, not what they need for personally, but what they need for their kids. Believe right. me, I keep an eye on all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. but yeah, so that's a really cool thing.
Oh, and one more thing. Sorry, just one more thing they're doing on this that she added this year. She has I forget what she called it, a strange item contest. So every week that people
that
collect trash.
So cool.
It's
yeah.
really cool. Whoever comes up with the strangest item for that week, she's kind of the judge on that. Janelle, my daughter, had found, you know, some things that were kind of interesting. I found an ink pen point up buried deep into the sand. That was not interesting, but
no,
painful.
That sounds devious.
It was. But someone else found a really interesting ring with these colored jewels on it. So that was the winner for that week. So they, oops, sorry. I was petting the cat and knocked the table. So that person won a special gift that week. I forget what it was. But then what she's going to do, she takes a picture of each unusual item every week. And at the end of all the gatherings, which is about a 12 or 14, I suppose, she's going to post all those pictures online and have Facebook people vote on what's the strangest thing. And whoever gets whoever wins that wins like a weekend trip at Panama City Beach or something. It's really cool.
It's really awesome. See, my problem is I start thinking, you know, in ways that I shouldn't.
Like planting something unusual?
Exactly, exactly. See, like I've got this, you know, it pops into my head. I should go down there and bury a fake skeleton or something.
Oh my gosh.
That's or sort of a fake narwhal skeleton.
When you
or
were talking about like Christian values and
yeah,
doing good
right.
for the kingdom, how does that work?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I qualified it at first, saying it was a bad impulse.
I thought of it too.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, so how do you segue from there? What are we now? What?
Just being honest. That's
yeah,
all.
Okay. We're both staring at each other like, what does this say about us?
I don't think what it says about you.
I'm actually worried somebody's going to do this. Well of the people that listen.
That's true.
We've met a couple nice people, so I can't imagine that they would do something like that.
Well, you and I came up with the idea on our own. I imagine other people could possibly have that idea too.
We're the most clever people. No one will.
Deviously clever.
Yeah, true. Okay, yeah, we probably got nothing to worry about. We're not inspiring anything bad.
Never.
Okay, so what's going on? I mean, where are we going from here?
Well, another upcoming events, which almost maybe we should call Corrections Corner. Listening to our old podcast from last month's podcast, and I think you were saying that we were going to have a surf and grill in like June, August, and September or something, and it says, I'm like, that's wrong.
Yeah, so somebody came and asked me, like, when's surf and grill? And on Sunday. And I was saying, somebody else was talking and saying, well, I don't think it's in June. I think they're skipping June. I said, no, we're not skipping June. We're doing June. We're skipping July and August.
Were they hassling you?
Actually weren't. They were literally, seriously, inquiring.
Well, I will say, we at our last staff meeting, Janelle was like, oh, I just remembered I had plans to make a poster for every date for Surf and Grill and have them all over the building, you know, for at least for the last month, and she forgot. And so we didn't have it in our brains very well either. So the next Surf and Grill is
June 21st. Oh, why is it? I don't know. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, now I'm confused. All I know is it's on Father's Day.
And I think that's June 21st. If I should play some music here while you look that up, but I'm pretty sure I'm brilliant.
June 21st is a Friday. So are we going to have it on a Friday? June 16th.
I
knew the 21st didn't sound right.
There
we go.
I actually told the people on Sunday that it was going to be June 21st.
Oh, boy.
That's all right. We'll make announcements. And if you haven't been baptized and you'd like to be baptized, that's the time to do it. Otherwise, the only other time we're going to be doing that this summer it'll be fall in September.
That's our plan. Let's sit loose on the branch. But the plan is to do it again in September. July, August are just incredibly hot. Even though you go down
June
to the
grass and stuff like that.
So that's our plan anyway, is to skip July and August and do one more in September.
Yep.
So that stay posted. Yeah. Sit loose on the branch always.
Yeah. That's
and
the
I
way it is.
I think student night is going to start back up again soon. Janelle is just
maybe
about
that's
off.
The 21st. Is that the 21st?
I don't know. I'll check.
Yeah. It's a Friday. You said it was a Friday. And I think I'm brilliant.
We have a board meeting that night too.
Yeah. That's so. It. Okay. That's it. It's
a
21st.
Totally different date than Surf and Grill, but it is
but
a date.
But I was right about the 21st. I was right about the 21st being something significant. There.
Y'all could see I'm nodding weakly.
Yeah, she's rolling her eyes too. It's whatever.
And then small group news, not a lot there. I just wanted to mention the men's group is taking the summer off as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people are super busy. They travel. Again, it's so hot. And since the hurricane, it's even hotter.
Yeah.
It took so many trees that we have a...
And people that are working, you know, a lot of times are work, you know, with the jobs in this area, oftentimes their work hours increase in the summertime. And I know Dave Pierce, who has been instrumental in leading the men's group, is going to be gone.
That's right. He's going to Sudan with the McAllisters.
Yes, in the first part of July, they're going to be going back to Tanj. That's a really exciting trip for the McAllisters. I'm excited.
That
for
is.
Them.
Matt went with you and I years ago, and but his wife and kid, two out of their four boys, are going with them this time. So that's really
that's
exciting.
That's going
to
be a blast.
It's going to
be a life changing experience for them.
It's incredible.
I remember when we went there. Remember Matt was talking. He said he felt like he was going to go gather his family up and move back to South Africa.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things. You go to South Africa. It's incredible. It is. It's an amazing...
It sticks with you. I don't know.
Well, not South Africa. South Sudan is what I meant to say in Africa. Mm-hmm. But it is a phenomenal experience. And there's something special about that.
There is. And Indeed and Truth Ministries are who we support and who we know. And they've been actually out here for 6 or 8 months on their last trip, so they're just now heading back.
Well, they just headed back, and then Sebbett's coming back to the States, and he and Dave are going to be going and doing a seminar on solar power, which is going to be wonderful because part of the clinic, they built that clinic, and part of the clinic is still without power. And so they need some, you know, they've got a lot of sunshine there. And, and so solar power is definitely the way to go. So I think they're going to be able to get some things put together and get that ball rolling. And I think that's one of the main things that they're doing when they go back.
That's awesome.
Heathgate is proud to present Student Night. This is for students who are middle school aged or younger. Ages 7 and up is free. Ages 6 and below is only $5 per kid. This means a pretty cheap date night for parents. It's going to be on the third Friday of every month, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. at Eastgate Christian Fellowship. To learn more or to register your child online, head on over to eastgatefellowship.net/student night. We look forward to seeing you there.
So is there a volunteer or someone that we're going to highlight in this podcast, Robbie?
I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to mention Joe and Stacy Wolzinski. Oh, they're awesome.
It was actually Joe who was asking me about Surfing
Grill. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Well, Joe, he helps with Surfing Grill, and he does the grilling.
Yes, he does.
Which is super important. Goes down there early. Basically misses the meeting since we only have one service now. Yeah.
And he's just does a great job. And
Stacy helps with the kids. She started doing scheduling that meeting once a week where people can come in and help clean out the kids' classrooms, give them a deep clean. And Joe just, I feel really bad. He suffered recently when he was working over at Eastgate.
You sound like you're going to laugh. You shouldn't be laughing at this story.
Well, it gets kind of funny, but it's still painful first. He was there at Eastgate. He was doing some work in the building and kind of getting ready for Surf and Grill, a mixture of a couple different things. And as he was going from the kitchen out the back door, which leads out to the kind of the wilderness area, there was apparently go out there very often, but there was a nest. What do you call it?
Hornet's nest.
A hornet's nest. And one came down and stung him.
On his earlobe.
And we felt so terrible. And Janelle was talking to Stacy about it later. She goes, I'm so sorry that happened. And she goes, it's okay. It's just, you know, since it was on his birthday, that was a little hard.
It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh at that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a terrible thing.
It was doubly worse. Yeah. And then...
poor Joe.
That was like during the middle of the week. And then on Sunday, Blake and I went out the back door, a different door, and we're pointing down there where it was, and Joe was showing up getting the stuff ready again for Surf and Grill, and Blake and I were saying, do we still need to get that nest? And Joe's like, oh no, I took care of that. Believe me, I sprayed those
with
things
military
down
with precision.
Vengeance. That's right.
Joe took care of them.
Went the second mile, took care of it, because they're gone.
That's awesome.
So yeah, you don't have to worry about going out the back door now, but
Joe goes down there, he does all the grilling, and I mean, he just handles the whole thing, and he does such a great job for
us.
And he runs the kids' gate counter.
Yes.
At
the
times.
Check-in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he switches out with Dennis and Melissa.
Yes.
So if you see Joe, you know, and of course, I'm teaching last Sunday, and I just offhandedly was talking about the Gadarene demoniac. And
you called him Joe.
And I called him Joe. I was just saying, you know, well, Joe, he's crazy. And then I realized, wait, Joe.
There is a Joe here.
There's a Joe here. So then I had to backpedal. Oh, public speaking is the worst.
Not you, Joe. You're nice.
Yeah.
Some other Joe.
Joe, honestly, is one of the nicest people I know.
He is always smiling.
And he's got such a, you know, I don't know that I'm at liberty to talk about his job, but, I mean, he's got a fascinating job. It's really cool. They're in the military.
That's cool.
You know, he's a diver guy. I don't know how much I'm supposed to. He hasn't told me anything. I don't know. I mean, but I don't know.
You're too afraid to ask him because he's pretty cool.
He's really cool. And I never know what is supposed to be talked about ever.
Yeah.
So,
and his wife, Stacy, helps.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of stuff around the kids' gate area. And like I said, she's starting to do that monthly meeting where people come and clean. And they just have a wonderful family.
They really do.
Three kids. They're
They've been
such
a
an
great,
asset.
That's right. That's exactly what I was going to say. A great asset to the community, and it's wonderful to have them. So if you see Joe and Stacy, tell them thank you for being who they are. And if you ever look at Eastgate and you're wondering, man, why is this place such an awesome community? The reason it's an awesome community is because of Joe and Stacy and what they bring to it and all the people who come together to form this representation of heaven on earth.
So I don't know if everybody knows this, as we've talked about lately about cleaning out closets and drawers, and there's a lot of nostalgic things that kind of have come up as I've been doing that. One was a stack of CDs, and I found out, oh, this sounds like rich people problems, but I found out our new car has a CD player. I didn't know it did.
And, I don't think that's rich people problems, okay. Robbie. Just like, the CD player is like, well, old technology.
I guess, but it's like, oh, I didn't even know.
It's also
we have
got
one
an 8-track
thing.
Player in it.
No, it's not that old.
Windshield wipers right on the front.
Some people still use CDs. I'm just saying that it was like, what I was going to say is when I was cleaning out closets, I brought in a bunch of CDs into the car because like computers don't even come with CD players anymore. So I guess that's your point. But that... we used to...
Did you hand them to the butler when you brought them in? I'm sorry.
Just let me know when you're done.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway, I grabbed a bunch of CDs that I'd pulled out of a closet and was playing them in the car. And I was thinking about this later. I don't know if people know that you, by choice, were in a band, at least three different bands that used to play at Jabaluya, and then we did a couple. No, there are three. There was Geezer was the first one, and then it was Trainwreck.
It was reshuffling with
yes,
one.
Yes, every time there was a new member, you had to make a new name, and it was Trainwreck, and then some people left, and you called it Pieces of the Wreck.
Actually, it started off as Jonesin' for Spring,
so
and then
four.
It, and then
good
it's
Lord.
Went from Jonesin' for Spring to Geezer to Trainwreck to Pieces of the Wreck.
Yes, but you willingly did this, and back when. That's my point. Back when we had our 25th Eastgate, was it 20th? 25th Eastgate.
No, we're coming up on 25.
Okay.
So 20th.
Which was the 20th then. I was hoping you guys might get together. It doesn't even have to be all the same people and redo some of it. But you wrote a lot of really awesome songs. You did the lyrics. Other people did the music. Or did you do any of the music?
No.
I'm not sure.
Okay. How would I? Yeah, I can't, you know. I don't have capacity to do music.
Well, either way.
I hummed a little tune. And said,
whatever.
Guys.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I didn't know if you came up with a tune or whatever.
No.
But they were so good. And some were admittedly better than others. But the reason I'm even bringing this
some
up.
Some of them are a great embarrassment to me. You were
well,
playing
when
that
we
in
were
the
listening
car the
to one,
day.
You're like,
oh man.
I don't even agree with this guy's theology.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Some of them were really good, and the writing was really good. And so I'm hoping that you'll be willing to share some of these clips, at least, of these songs. And one in particular does relate to Father's Day, and that's another reason why I'm bringing that one up.
Okay. So, yeah. Are you talking about Big Shoes?
I am.
Yeah. So it's a song I wrote about my dad shortly after he passed away, which was in 1995. And I had just started to get to know him.
Now I know you're safely in the arms of the one who still embraces us in love. In spite of all our human inconsistencies, I know that you're there. You're there. Blood, and you are still a giant in the pulpit, and the memories of you I hold on to. I know your successes and I know about your failures, and now I know the grace that saw you through. Yes, I am understanding. I am understanding.
My father was a preacher and had ministered as an evangelist for 70 years, which is incredible when you think about
it. It's a long time.
My father was born in 1901, and he was 60 years old when I was born in 1961. So it wasn't a generation gap between the two of us. I mean, it was the Grand Canyon. We were from completely different worlds. My dad, you know, we were going to talk about our dads on this podcast, and I've thought about my dad and what I want to say and what I could say or what I should say, and it's hard because he was a very respected preacher in the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people back in the day and in those circuits would have known him, would have been familiar with him. He was an author for Zondervan.
But he was a prolific author.
He was a prolific writer, and he was a poet. And but, you know, he was a challenging human being. And I think that's probably the best way to word it. He was flawed, and his family took the brunt of that flaw. Mm-hmm. And it was tough. And so growing up, before I became a believer, I wanted nothing to do with him. I wanted mm-hmm. nothing to do with him or his religion or any of that. To me, I looked at it and felt like he was fraudulent, because I'd see him representing things one way on a Sunday morning at a church service. And I grew up going to camp meetings and traipsing around, you know, mm-hmm. watching him preach at various churches around the world, around the country. And
well, kids are natural kind of BS detectors.
Well, they too. Are. They are. And kids are naturally going to be skeptical of their parents, and especially. But this was, you know, there were, you know, he struggled with, you know, the things in his life. And like I said, his family bore the brunt of it. And it was hard for me to be able to see him do that and then see how he was represented within our family and not to come away feeling like, you know, this is a sham. Mm-hmm. This isn't.
Well, what was the biggest contradiction that you felt like you were seeing? I mean, I know the song represents one aspect. Is that the main kind of his sense of, I mean, if you haven't all heard the song, and they also, just on a side note, the News Herald did a really nice Father's Day article on you.
Back in 2000, yeah.
Mm-hmm, when you were 40. And we'll try to post.
I don't know why we had to bring that up.
Because it was right underneath the picture. I remember that. So it was a few years ago. But and they have the words to Big Shoes in the bottom of that article. It's a really beautiful article that was done.
And Tony Simmons wrote that.
Yeah, that was really nice. But what I was going to say, mostly that article and that song represents a sense of fear. Maybe that he had, that he would talk big about.
Well, it was fear. It was my, here's the thing. I really think from my father, he began to believe his own press clippings.
Gotcha.
I think he, you know, felt himself, to be.
Sense of importance.
A sense of importance. And so it was kind of a sense of like, I'm God's man. And so it doesn't matter if I'm abusive over here or you know, unrestrained in some other part of my life because I'm God's man. And mm-hmm. and so it doesn't matter. And of course, for me, it mattered. And honestly, I mean, because of the, yeah. And because of the, well, I mean, yeah, but at that time, I'm talking about when I was young.
Oh, right.
I mean, it you know, that just drove me away from everything. And, I remember I really wanted nothing to do with him. I barely knew him. I mean, I knew him, you know, when we'd go to these camp meetings or whatever, and especially as I got to my teen years, and because I was the son of one of the main speakers there, of course, you know, Riley and I both, my brother and I both had a lot of attention because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You
guys would sing together at those meetings a lot of times.
Yeah, we would do that. Sometimes Riley would be mostly the one who would sing. And by the time I got to my later teens, I was the one, you know, off doing drugs.
They didn't want punk rock music in those camp meetings.
Yeah, they didn't want me around, actually. And I don't blame them. I was not a good influence there in those situations. But anyway, so my relationship with my dad in my early days was really quite estranged.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't like there was any kind of hostility, direct hostility between us, I didn't really have much to do with him and he didn't have much to do with me. But later on in life, when I did commit my life to Jesus and that profound change took place there, then all of a sudden my dad became somebody fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what, you have to realize this is a guy that committitted his life for 70 years. And this was not a guy who was out raking in money or anything.
No,
this was not
something
he wasn't doing this
by.
For money. Yeah. So, I mean, he clearly had something that happened there. And one time sitting down with him, he started just kind of sharing his story. And it was really something to hear the passion that he had in that. And his eyes begin to well up with tears and talk about the experience that he had and how, you know, how changed he had become and how much Jesus meant to him So for me as a fellow believer, I had to realize, wait a minute, this is, you know, well, of course, I'm omitting a big part in the crazy church where in the crazy church, I just thought he was, you know, not part of the crazy church, so he couldn't really be saved.
Yes. And no one that was in the crazy church could be saved, right? I mean, that was the way we thought.
Yeah, nobody outside of the crazy church was really, you know, they were suspect anyway. And my dad, especially, since all the things that I had experienced in my teen years, then I examined in light of the crazy church theology. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, you know, he must be off.
So we did our part to be estranged from him.
Yes,
that
continued.
Time.
So mm-hmm. And so for me, the turning point after leaving the crazy church, having my experience with grace, suddenly my dad became very intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. And it was after that period of time that he was telling me his story and realizing that I'd look at that man, this old man, I mean, in his 90s, and mm-hmm. Realized he'd committed his whole life to this. There was more to this than just the things that I experienced. I don't know, there was a softening there from my side for sure. And we got a little closer. So that was really cool. Like when Eastgate first started, he was still preaching up in Glendale, Florida, just a little north of Dufuniac Springs. Mm-hmm. And that one Father's Day, we were meeting on Saturday nights for Eastgate. So he came down and he shared at Eastgate mm-hmm. on a Saturday night. And then that Sunday morning, I went up and shared at his church. And it was just a special, like just one of those things. How could that ever have happened? I mean, that was pretty cool for me.
That never happened again. I'm not sure how much longer it was after that he passed away, but
it was probably only about a year.
That's what I was thinking. And then Eastgate eventually went to Sunday morning. So that only could have happened, you know, really during that time where you both.
But it was really cool. And when I first became a pastor, I was able to, for a while, call him up and talk to mm-hmm. him and ask him, you know, what I should do. what have I gotten myself into? And
yeah. He was very helpful, though, with a lot of things. I remember you talking to him about funerals and when you got asked to do your first funeral and how scary that was.
That's right.
You asked for his advice on that and he offered some very helpful
advice that I've taken with mm-hmm. me, I mean, to every funeral that I've ever preached since that time. My dad was such a fascinating character, though, because he got saved. Like I said, he was born in 1901. He didn't get saved until he was in his 20s, which means it was the 1920s. And it was mm-hmm. during a revival tent meeting mm-hmm. and with a holiness group, Nazarenes. And he wandered in. He thought he was going to a circus. That was his whole story. He thought he was going to a circus. He wandered into this tent. Suddenly a guy's talking about Jesus. He was trying to put it together, but he said he felt himself moved and they were inviting people back behind a curtain to pray and mm-hmm. and receive Jesus. And he did. He went back and received his salvation experience in that he embraced the idea of following Jesus. And then, according to him, I don't know, it's hard to figure out how this could have ever been put together. I don't know how that would work, but he said he got an apple cart. Not an apple cart.
Soapbox.
Like a crate. An old apple crate is what mm-hmm. he said it was. And set it up on the street corner and jumped up on top of it and started preaching to people as they went by. And the Nazarenes saw him doing it and took him in.
And that's where he started with Nazarenes and went to EUB.
Yeah, the EUB church, which then melded with the United Methodist Church.
So there's a few old-timer people that we meet along the way that know him
or
knew him or was familiar with his work. Or he used to travel. He was an evangelist, and I think he was in every state in the union, which sounds really old-fashioned, but I think that's probably the way he worded it, right?
I think it is. But every state in the United States, mm-hmm. He had preached that, except for Hawaii. He'd always point that out.
Okay.
Didn't make it to Hawaii. But he was an orator.
He was.
I mean, that was back at, you know, again, he comes from a different school of thought. And so he was one of those guys who could actually, and he
was beautiful.
He really was. He was great at it. He could spin a story and put it together, put the words together in such a way that it was just captivating. And
back when we lived in Indiana, he would come once a year to Columbus.
Yeah.
And so we would often travel over there and hear him. And that was one of the few times I got to hear him live. And he was amazing.
Yeah. And he did. He just had a great way of, and it was more than just the words. It was just even the way that he would enunciate the words. It was very dramatic the way he would speak. And I mean, it's not something I could do. It's not my kind of thing.
Well, you have a different kind of calling. And he did eventually, in his latter years, I'm not sure what the number is, but, you know, eventually you can't travel a whole lot anymore, although he was very fit. But he was asked to become a permanent pastor in Glendale,
Florida. Actually, it wasn't a permanent. It was an interim.
Oh, but he just stayed there permanently, yeah. Kind of a thing.
And this is one of those theological, for anybody who's the theological type, it was a real conundrum because he was a dyed-in-the-wool Methodist Arminianist, and it was a Presbyterian church that had asked him to come right. And be interim pastor. And I was always puzzled at how in the world that worked. How,
yeah.
But they managed it, and that's beautiful. Yes. When you think about it, that
they were very open.
They were, and so was he. And they recognized that there was a difference of an opinion there, but there was a love for Jesus that shone through it all.
Which was something in the crazy church we would not have tolerated.
No, not at all. Not at all. Which is tragic.
It is. And I think when you come out of it and you start to look around and you appreciate what true Christianity looks like.
Yeah.
That was one of those times where we just like, well, Papa has... You know, he's different. He looks different than us. He acts different than us. But I still believe he's a genuine believer. We're very judgmental in the crazy church.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And so trying to move away from that and embracing others and loving others and kind of understanding we're all going to look a little different in our walk, Christian walk. And that's okay.
Right. It is.
That felt like a big step for us.
Yeah, I know.
It may seem obvious to a lot of other people, but that was huge for
us. Hopefully it's obvious to a lot of other people. But, I mean, yeah, that was the realization that our God is way bigger than our definition of him and our perception.
We're not the same world that I was in when I was a kid, and I have the feeling there'll be a lot more changes yet. Maybe not too many for me, because I'm not going to be around forever, you know. But let me tell you what happened. One spring, not long ago, I stood on a hill, and the sun was the same warm sun that bathed me when I was a little tyke. It was warming the same earth that I had walked on when I was a little boy. And the green grass was tacked down with yellow-headed tacks like it had been when I was 5 years old. The sun had not been reconstructed, and gravitation had not been revolutionized, and the earth was still a ball. It wasn't a cube. Human hearts still beat at a certain rate, and people still breathe in and breathe out like their great-great-great-grandfathers did. And so much is still like it was 80 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Love, my friend, has not been altered. Love is still the same, and it is still most wonderful. Mercy has not changed. It's still beautiful. And gentleness and kindness have not changed, and they are still sweet. I tell you, standing on that hill in that spring, thinking about these things, I got to thinking about all the things that haven't changed. And a strange sense of security came over me, and there came back from the old book a wonderful word. I am the Lord, and I change not. Hallelujah!
So now your dad is still alive.
Yeah, we should have led with my dad.
Why?
Because your dad has a lot more levels. My dad's
your dad is an awesome man.
He is. He's awesome.
By the way, what does your dad do?
See, this is why I'm like, do we need to talk about my dad? I'm sure it's been mentioned that he is a certified public accountant.
And what is it you do?
I'm a bookkeeper. And guess what? My dad's mom did.
What?
She was a bookkeeper.
There it is.
It's in my blood.
Yep, it definitely is. And that's so cool. And your father is such a wonderful man. And we should mention that he is with us still. Not here in the house, but I mean he's...
Yes, he lives in Mississippi. His wife, my Nana, died a few years ago. But so he's a widow living there. My sister, Lori, lives with him and helps take care of him. He's survived a couple of serious medical bouts and he's retired. But he's a wonderful man. He enlisted in the Korean War at the end, and he got the GI benefit. So
enlisted in the Army.
Army,
during
yeah.
the Korean War. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, there we go. And so that sent him to school, and he became a CPA, and he had his own business, and he did quite well at that. And
he did.
And I have called him for advice many times, and he's always been very helpful.
I remember when we went out to Oregon right after we got married, and he showed us his offices. I mean, it was impressive. It was multi-stories.
Yeah,
and, I mean,
he did quite well for himself.
Yes, he really did. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't know. For me to brag about your dad seems a little odd, but
no,
your dad is an amazing human being, and his love for family is profound to me. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how much you want shared about this, but there was a breakup in the original family. Your
yes.
mom and dad split up, and it was ugly. I mean,
it was not a good
frankly.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
And he was hurt pretty terribly in it. And yet, to see this man rise above all of that potential hurt in order to maintain unity in that family and keep the kids together, I think he is a profound human being. I love him.
And he puts his money where his mouth is. He has funded many reunions partially funded, if not funded the whole thing or the majority of it to get us kids together. If y'all don't know, my mom and dad had four kids. And of course, from that comes a lot more other kids. Each of us four kids had four kids, except my brother who had two. And so there's just a lot of, I mean, a couple years ago, he organized a cousin reunion for like all of our kids to be able to get together because I want this to continue. And I was like, it was beautiful and just the best. And we all get along. We did 50th birthday parties for all of us kids when we turned 50. So it was like every year for about 4 or 5 years. And we just had the best time. And one of them was here in Panama City Beach. And I forget how many people, 40 people came.
Oh, no, it was more than that. It was 50-something people. That picture of the beach house when we're all there, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, and one of the spouses of one of the grandkids basically was like, I'm not sure I want to come to family reunions. That's a crazy mess. And we're like, okay, well, you do what you got to do. So they didn't stay at the house we all stayed at, and they stayed at another place and kept joining us. I'm like, you guys don't fight. Like, no, we don't. We love each other. We get along. And I really think that a lot of that's attributable to my dad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to provide an example like that, that's just that's a rarity in this world. And it's something that, I mean, I've told him multiple times that I appreciate him, and I appreciate that he showed us the way. For this family to stick together and to be together. And I can't think of much more I couldn't think of anything more godly than that.
That's right. Yes.
So it's a beautiful thing. Your dad is wonderful. Wonderful person to celebrate. And then
thanks.
Your stepdad
so yeah.
is still present too. Of course,
he is local.
Yeah, he lost his wife just recently, but he's here locally. And
if y'all don't know, both my dads are named Chuck. My dad and stepdad. And so when my mom got remarried, we always called my stepdad Chucky, which was way before the Chucky crazy movies came out. So if you ever hear me say that, that's just all I've ever called him. And it has nothing to do with the movies. But either way, that's who I pretty much grew up with. You know, I would just visit my dad once a year. And then Chucky lived with us, of course, in Southern California, where I grew up. And he was a rocket scientist.
Yep.
He graduated from Caltech. He was incredibly
one of the smartest
brainy.
Men I've ever known. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And also,
tragically, what were you going to say?
Well, though? I was going to say before that, he loved the banjo. He loved Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
He was kind of a hippie. He and my mom were kind of hippies together. And just a beach. I remember body surfing in Laguna Beach, you know, with him. And he just was, a lot of you all don't know him that way because when he moved out here, he was already 70 something. And, he was 70 something. And so anyway, my mom passed away in January, but about 2 years before that, he had a stroke. And so he did not have the left side disability like a lot of people do, but he does have aphasia. So he has very little vocabulary available to him, and he gets a little flustered when you try to talk.
It's
and
such
he
a
used
heart,
to love stories
right,
and
that's
talking.
The, that's
and,
such a heartbreaking aspect to that because he loved his stories, and it was really interesting. I mean, his days of working at Edwards Air Force Base during the rocket sled tests and things like that. And
then even after he was retired, he was doing... he was designing airplanes for people for flight simulators. He was like designing them in paint, right? Microsoft Paint and other things. And
No. I mean, he was designing them in flight X or something like that. It was something, but he would do some of the exterior things with paint.
That's what I just remember seeing him, and I'm thinking that seems so antiquated, but no. He knew how to make it work.
He could make it work.
So
but
people
it wasn't
would like submit their personal airplane to him, and he would make a digital copy of their plane so they could fly.
Yeah,
like
it was more
simulator.
Than just a, what he would do is go through and put all the specific, the specs in so that, it could.
It operated it could, on the computer like it did
it
in real life
real
as
life.
Close as possible.
Yeah.
And that all ended.
And then. He met Audius Huxley.
Yeah,
remember he talks
that's
about
right.
that story?
Yes.
And who was the.
Aldous
Huxley. Audius, I always say.
It's A-L-D.
Yeah, sorry. Aldous okay. Huxley. But,
that's hard for you.
It is. Okay. It's a hard word for me to say. Whatever.
Okay.
And he also, who was the country, Gene Autry.
Yes, there's pictures of him with Gene Autry.
So.
Yeah, he enters.
And he's in a good state now. I mean, he's, because of the limitations that he faces with the stroke, he is now living at Charter Living.
Charter Senior Living, he's in assisted living.
And he's got a great routine going on, and he just seems to be content.
And he's cared for 24 hours a day, and we go visit him and take him out to eat and stuff like that, but... His life has changed, but he also is like, I think his life has simplified
in
a lot of ways.
His needs and interests have simplified.
That's right.
Quite a bit. So, all right.
We have a lot to be grateful for.
We sure do. So, happy Father's Day, fathers.
Yes, happy Father's Day to you, Rob. You're a wonderful father to our four children.
I don't know that I would win any awards, but I love my kids. That's for sure.
Who gets Father's Day awards?
I don't know. Like those mugs that say world's greatest dad. Isn't that an award?
You haven't got one of those. That's
I never
true.
Have gotten one of those. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm holding out.
Did
you
ever
know.
See the mug that Matt Green's mom got? Said world's okayest mom. Maybe you get one of those.
Yeah. World's so-soest dad.
No, well, they love you, and you know they do.
I love my kids, and I certainly am someone who struggles with regrets. There's, of course, because I was in the crazy church when they
Not
were
you.
First born, and and so there's things that I would, still cringe at, thinking, oh, why did I do that?
Who does it right though the first time?
Nobody does it right. I know that. I know. Yeah. So what I can do is look at your dad and use him as a template and aspire to be like him.
And I think you
show
are.
Grace.
I think you've made that very well known to the kids that you love being with them. And at this point, we have 3 out of 4 living here. So by the end of this month, we'll have 3.
Bradley.
I know we're still
hint
waiting
Bradley.
On that Southerner to come up.
Hey, speaking of Bradley,
yeah.
We could talk a little bit about sports, couldn't we?
We could.
About the Marlins.
Yeah, they're actually looking decent lately.
They're doing so much better. Last podcast, I was lamenting them and just saying, I don't know. But they're pitching. I mean, they're pitching. Okay, between Smith and Richards and, of course, Lopez, who they just brought in, who is phenomenal. And then Sandy Alcantara, who won an entire game the other day.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, and their bats.
I was just
going
to say, it's not just the offense.
Oh, my God. It's
not just the defense. It's the offense
looking
good. The bats are coming alive.
They found the on switch for the bats. And boy, oh, boy, Brian Anderson and Ramirez.
And Alfaro is still going, doing well. And...
But Ramirez, I think they've been calling him Harry the Hit Machine.
Yeah.
And I think he's gotten a hit in almost every game for the last 5-6 games.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
It's been so fun.
Yeah.
And they've been like dominating games. It's not just like winning by a run or whatever. It's been like 9-2 and things like that.
It's been exciting. It's exciting baseball to watch. Hey, you can watch those locally if you've got a local cable thing. And it's on Fox Sports. And they're fun. They're fun. Guys to pay attention to, and
they're fun. It made me a little sad though the other day, because as well as they've been doing, they did get in the news, but not for their playing. Do you remember what that was for?
What was the buzz on that?
Oh no.
They had a delay. They had a
game delay
because of bees.
Yeah, and that was ridiculous. Where was that? That wasn't in
No, that was in San Diego.
Yeah, that was
and
in San Diego.
And in San Diego, bees are protected.
The honeybees.
The honeybees are protected, which, I mean, the bee population.
Pooh Bear is super happy about that.
Well, the honeybee population is decreasing, and that is disconcerting. And so they are protected. So they can't do it. They couldn't come in with a spray and try to get rid of them or do anything. So they just had to wait it out. Bees just suddenly swarmed. Some of the microphones and stuff.
It was bizarre. We were watching it, and one of the commentators, what do you call her? It's kind of like, what is Jessica Blaylock?
On the field color commentator.
Yeah, she's a friend of our kids from Jacksonville.
That's right.
And so we've always are excited when we see her, but she works for the Marlins. I think she works for the Orlando Magic too. But she was the one talking about it. And she said, you know, I love to research stuff. And I just looked into this. And she goes, they're protected. You can't do anything about it. You just have to wait.
And so it was like an hour and a half. They had to hold this game up.
You should look up pictures of it. It was incredible. They were swarming like in groups all over. I mean, like flying through the air. But then there was something about these microphones that they loved. And there was like 50 of them just all around it. It was just... Like yeah. I said, Pooh Bear would have been delighted.
I was just going to say what they should have done was release Pooh Bear. They should have released bears into the stadium.
That would have been awesome.
And then, of course, to get rid of the bears, they'd have to do something else. What, bring the Packers in?
If you give a mouse a cookie.
Get the Packers to come in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it just got terrible.
It did. But, yeah, I remember texting Bradley during these last couple of wins lately and just saying, well, the fish are really fun to watch right now. And he said, well, they're doing what we have believed they could do for a long time.
Well, they certainly are looking good. And, of course, the Cubs, we shall not mention.
You just mentioned them.
I know. I shouldn't have mentioned them.
This is really not fair. The Cubs are the lovable losers. They just went from first place to second place. They're back. They're behind a game and a half. And you're lamenting terrible. Like they're in the... The Marlins are still in the bottom of the American League or whatever it is.
Winning. And, the Cubs just look like... It's just amateur hour out there. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Well, but it is baseball. Ways to win.
It is baseball. It's one of those crazy things about that. That's why there's 160 whatever games.
That's the thing. It's the long. You have to be in it for the long haul. Baseball is not like football where you get one a week. You know, you get
football every game. It feels like everything rides. Your season rides or falls on every game. Mm-hmm. And baseball, you know, you can have a little stretch like this and things fall apart. We just like watching baseball. We
can't get enough of it.
We sure can't. So, we're getting close to winding things up. Do you have a good quote?
I do. It goes along with Father's Day, and it was a quote by Billy Graham.
Oh.
I liked it. It says, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society.
Oh. Well, that's
That was very sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, one more thing, though, before we forget. There's something coming up. Starting this Friday. I hope we get this out before then.
What?
The Visual Arts Center has an upcoming art show.
Yes, they do. It's I'm trying to look over my shoulder here at the thing. It's called Pen Paint Pop. It's a local comics and cartoon exhibit.
Yeah.
And so they're getting Florida artists and even some local who are cartoonists and, you know, some very famous ones.
Like you.
No. I mean, famous and good ones are going to be displayed there. The show starts this Friday, which is going to be June 7th.
Good.
And it starts at 6 o'clock. It's free to the public. And they're going to have some refreshments there. And then they're going to cap it off with a showing of a documentary called Stripped. And don't be thrown by the title. It's about comic strips and how comic strip artists are having to learn how to navigate between the decline of newspapers
and
the digital world and all. So Jason Kretzer, who's the director there, approached me and asked if I wanted to put anything in. And so I took a few pieces down there. So I'll have a few comics, comic book pages. And
she protests. But I think that's really exciting and we're planning on going. And I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. So come on out on June 7th to the Panama City Center for the Arts. And
but it goes until July...
July 5th, I think.
Mm-hmm, I think so, too.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
Downtown Panama City.
Yeah. We want to support these local events that are trying to promote the arts.
Mm-hmm.
We want the arts.
We do.
That's part of God's creative work in this world. So, okay. So it is unlikely to me that the four people listening would still be awake.
Yes.
So it's, hello.
We should sing them a lullaby.
Wake up. No, we got to try to wake them up.
We got to
alert them that it's over now and they can get on with their lives.
We can make the cat yell
Do
again.
Something productive. You've wasted enough time here. So,
but thanks for coming. We don't mean to put you down.
Yeah,
we
we're not putting you,
you
down. We appreciate. We're honored. Yeah, I can't even believe that you would do this. Why are you doing this? But thanks. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Someone said to me at Surf and Grill, I hadn't met him before, and he goes, "Oh, I recognize your voice." And I went, "Oh, wow." And he goes, "From the podcast." And I went, "Oh,
so ooh, one of the four. Wow. We met one of the four."
Okay. I told Rob we need to make T-shirts that say I'm one of the four. And if we sell more than four, we'll see.
Hey, there it is. Like, so drop us a line at it's eastgatepcb@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And just let us know. Should we make T-shirts? I'm one of the four. I'll do it.
We decided too that if you submit a question or comment or a request for like a theology question or a money minute or anything
or
like that.
Or suggestion for a guest.
Then we might make T-shirts for you and give you one.
Yeah.
If you do.
Yeah. We're just interested.
Rob's a designer. He does a lot of T-shirt design. So, yeah, he could figure it out in your
free
time.
A famous local artist who's being exhibited downtown.
Hey.
Anyway, so, okay. We've done all that we can do to try to wake you up and get you, you know, shake it off, get alert, go back to work.
Have some caffeine.
Do whatever you have to do to try to un-numb yourself. We appreciate you hanging out with us during this time. So
yeah, look for us on Instagram. We're going to try to add some photos of Papa. That's what we called Rob's dad. And, you know, pertinent information to go along with this podcast. So,
all right. So for us as Eastgate, we're learning to love God, learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
See you next time.
God bless you.
Music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Poddington Bear, Scott Holmes, and Raphael Archangel from the Free Music Archives.
When the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised never to die again, and we shall be changed. For what is mortal must be changed into what is immortal, and what will die must be changed into what cannot die. Isn't that great? Oh, that will be the last great change, ladies and gentlemen. We'll need no fixing after that. God has promised us that even if the world burns, if we go with Him, somehow, sometime, He will get us right. He's working on us, that old song. God's still working on me. It's not very good English, but it's good theology. God is still, you're better than you used to be, Christian. Oh, some days you think you aren't, but you have come up a little ways. You're getting higher. Oh, He is a gentleman. He's the cosmic gentleman. And He promised you, if you go with me, I sometime will get you right. And you will be like me. Someday, somehow. And that's when you take communion. You always want to remember you don't only look back to Calvary. We look forward, He said, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When everything shall be made right. And we shall live with Him forever, and righteousness will be at home forever.